sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
That's the Friday crew.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight. I don't want to lose your love tonight.
Watching our simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. You just saw an ad for the Football Fix. Coming up tonight, 6 p.m.
Is that Ken, Paulie,
no,
and
Jumbo? No. That's yours truly, along with Phil Perry, Danielle Trotta. Tonight, 6 p.m.
Phenomenal program.
And then I always hang around for the Tangway show, the Tangway Trenny show, TNT.
Ugh.
That is coming up at 6:30.
6:30, sure.
Yeah. So it's really like a 2-hour great little football block. You should be watching every Friday night. Beginning
you got some facial hair.
There it is. Boom. Out. Early edition. 6:30. After
right
the
there.
Football fix.
All coming up tonight.
Now you got BST at 9. I'll be there for
Are
that
you on
as
that
well.
Too?
Oh, sure am.
Phil, you're all over the place.
Big day. Big
Phil,
day.
Phil Perry is with us, and this hour of Zolak and Bertrand is brought to you by Stop and Shop, official supermarket of the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
They have everything you need to make your Sunday night football party a success. Get details right now at stopandshop.com. Phil Perry brought to us by our friends at Stop and Shop, where, as we just covered, you can get all kinds of different dips and chips. So, among
it's
other
o- it's overwhelming, well, honestly. Among, there's among so many options, items. It's overwhelming.
All right, Phil, give me a single football thought about this game coming up on Sunday night against the Lions, because this is not a game that has gotten a lot of attention. There's not a lot of buzz for this game because it's the Lions.
Okay, so when you say football thought, you mean not Josh Gordon related? Because yeah, I feel like that's on, all anybody yeah, cares about
know,
is whether Josh Gordon
that.
Is going to
we
play and what it's going to look
buzz.
Like.
Give
he's
me something this game
non-Josh Gordon.
Non-Josh Gordon buzz, I'm looking at the Patriots defense. Patriots defense has to play better. This is a group that wants to play man-to-man, and I'm not sure they're going to be able to do it throughout the course of the season. I know people can look at the one game in Jacksonville, 100 degrees. A little too early to judge. A little too early. But I would say I think there are a couple of potential long-term concerns here, and it's how do you cover at the linebacker level, and do you have any pass rush without Trey Flowers?
Interesting stuff with Hightower, too. Sort of, I don't say being critical of himself, but as far as demanding, like we got to play better.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's there.
I mean, they know it.
They know it.
They know it was too easy. I think I wonder, Zoe and Beadle and Hardy and anybody listening, if they're a little too predictable defensively already through 2 weeks. Like, to me, the Jaguars knew the Patriots were going to be in man, and so what do? They run a bunch of man beaters. They run a bunch of pick routes.
No, but they
and
still,
they're running free across the field.
See, but the stupidity of the Jaguars, too, though, they still were running man beater routes when the Patriots switched the zone the second half, and that's when he threw the one pick and almost threw the other.
Right. So that's when you mix it up a little bit and you confuse the other side. So I think that's a good thing. But
I think it's personnel,
this is still it's. But isn't it man to man personnel like on the outside and then at the linebacker level? It's hard to run man to man. So it's a difficult juxtaposition for Brian Flores to deal with.
I think Eric Rowe screwed your game plan up last week. I think his lack of presence, his inability to cover man-to-man sort of threw a gasket in that. And when your number two corner can't do that against a guy that really, I mean, we're not talking about premier receivers.
Right. Here.
They're good. Moncrief and the kid Cole are good. Cole's an undrafted free agent. And he can't cover him.
I wonder.
Yeah, but you know what? If you can play, you can play. And Cole clearly can.
No, Cole can play. I'm not taking it away from Cole, but I'm still saying, you know, I mean, what the hell's going to happen with the Pittsburgh set or Kansas City down the road? Who else has good?
I think Green Bay. Right. I think Eric Rowe is what he is. He's a number two corner. He's a guy that they trusted to cover Julio Jones in the Super Bowl. It didn't do a terrible job in the handful of snaps that he got on the guy.
But
he's big.
Too,
he's relatively athletic. He had a bad game. He got hurt in the game, which I think has gone a little bit overlooked. Devin McCourty actually referenced it to me right after that game. He said, you know, we lose Chung, that's one body down, and we lose Eric too. I was like, wait, you don't lose Eric.
I thought he got benched
because he got beat. but he shows up on the injury report this week. He's dealing with a groin injury.
Oh, so there's going to be some groin.
There's going to be some moving and shaking, I think, in this secondary this weekend.
What a combo.
And I think...
Oh, who do you think...
So wait. Is the suggestion that he covered so poorly in the game because he had an injury?
That was what I gathered from McCourty after the game. But they put him back in. So
honestly,
they take him out and then they put him back in for one snap.
If I'm being honest, that sort of makes me feel better.
Yeah, because Devin's not going to lie. It came out of nowhere.
Nobody thought Eric Rowe was hurt. Everyone thought he just got benched because he got beat again in the second half on one snap.
Oh,
and it was non-competitive. You're like, okay, this is just not Eric's day. Get him out of there. Get somebody else in. But for him to bring it up out of nowhere and say, well, we lost Chung, but we lost Eric too. So now you're dealing with two bodies down, 100-degree heat. And, you know, he was saying, I'm not trying to make excuses here, but there were some changes that they had to deal with. And so I think this week, depending on how Eric Rowe is health-wise, I think we might see a little J.C. Jackson this week. I think we're going to see a little bit of the undrafted rookie, the guy who tore it up this summer, good preseason. I think there's a good chance we see that guy in Europe.
There's also this. This is Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, on Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, the ankle injury actually popped up on the injury report yesterday, which anytime a player is all of a sudden limited during a random midweek practice, it is something that can be cause for concern and something that can cause a flurry of phone calls. My understanding is Gronk was limited because he just wanted to take it easy yesterday on that ankle. Nothing concerning here as far as his overall health or, to my understanding, his availability for Sunday. We'll see whether or not Gronk goes out in practice today and how much he can actually do. But the overall view on this is that it is nothing to be worried about. That said, for Gronkowski, obviously all eyes are going to be on him going forward. The Jaguars made it a huge point to stop him. They actually did. But now the Patriots do, of course, have one more offensive weapon in Josh Gordon that might open Gronk up just a little bit this weekend.
Gronk with an ankle.
So the reason
Rappaport
brushes it off. That's obviously good news for the Patriots. I asked around a little bit yesterday after practice.
Could be sore from the game too.
Get a whole lot in return, which could mean it wasn't anything big, or could mean everybody's just trying to be tight-lipped about it. The reason he says it can be concerning, I mean, you guys know this. Somebody is healthy going into a practice and they come out limited. That could mean any number of things, from the guy took one or two fewer snaps than he normally does, which would qualify technically as limited, or the guy suffered a horrendous injury in the middle of practice. He participated for the first half, missed the entire second half. That would also be limited.
Wow.
So there's a huge range of outcomes there when you see that. So to get that news from Rappaport is obviously a good thing for the Patriots. I mean, it goes without saying just how important this guy is to the offense. But I believe reporters on the scene will be out of practice in about 20 minutes or so. I think. So hopefully we'll have a little bit more news by then.
So you heard Rap Sheet, too, talking about Gordon, how it's going to alleviate some of the pressure on Gronkowski, and I think it will from a coverage standpoint. And doubling down on that with what Belichick said about Gordon, guy's done about as much as you can do in 3 days, smart kid, picking it up well, tells me he's playing.
I think he's going to play, too. Two things on that. So talking to someone...
How about you save both of those items?
All right, let's save it.
Two things on Josh Gordon while Zoe blows his nose into a microphone. We'll be talking about Josh Gordon coming up. But before we do that, why don't we get an action update from VSIN.
Ooh.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Zoe, and the Beatle. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Sign up for free daily sports betting coverage for the Vegas Stats and Information Network at vsin.com/newsletter. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The Patriots -6.5 or the Lions +7. Those are the choices bettors have around Las Vegas for the Pats' Sunday night visit to Detroit. The over-under is 53 or 53.5, depending on the sports book. Now, the three-time reigning AL East champs. The Red Sox are 25-cent favorites, sending Chris Sale to the mound tonight for their visit to Cleveland to face Trevor Bauer. Bauer comes back from a broken right leg to pitch maybe two innings. The total is 8, with the underjuiced 20 cents. For the latest odds all the time, visit vsin.com. From Las Vegas, I'm Ron Flatter. This has been your Action Update on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're going to get to the 2 points that Phil Perry has on Josh Gordon right after I give you this update from Mike Reese. We're not doing callers tonight, okay? Everyone calm down.
Hop.
From Mike Reese on Twitter just a minute ago, notes from practice. Jacob Hollister, Patrick Chung, Trey Flowers, all missing.
What's going on with Hollister?
I don't know.
That's a weird one.
That's a weird one.
It's a weird one.
Chung obviously had the concussion, as did Trey Flowers. Rob Gronkowski with his ankle moving well,
nice.
According to Mike Reese. That's a big plus.
Bang, bang.
There you go.
And Rapper's Delight, the song you're hearing right now, is playing during stretching at Patriots practice.
Oh, the linemen must be so excited.
And next on the mic is my man Hank. So come on, Hank, sing that song.
All right, so and I'm going to give you another update.
Women fight for my delight.
Update from the Beasley Media Group building. Relax, we got another update here. I saw someone in the hallway, and I said, this guy's famous, and I don't know where I know him from. Who is this guy?
Who's the guy?
I can't believe you didn't know who
it
was.
I'm like, how do I know him?
I knew exactly who it was as soon as I saw him.
And I'm like, how do I know you?
Ethan Hawke.
Shut up!
That's who it is!
Are you kidding me?
And you know the craziest thing?
He looks
thing?
A little different
do you know
life.
When I got home Batman? Last night, and I'm like, all right, Red Sox are over. You know, I'm all juiced up. I need something to, like, calm down and go to sleep watching. You know what I watched last night? Training Day. Ethan Hawke.
Oh, that's a good
so
one.
Good. Good.
Did you tell that's him that?
One. So, no, he walked past me. I said, and I don't know. Barboza like said something like, "Oh, there he is." And he said, "Training Day." I'm like, "I just watched it last night." And he kind of smiled, and nodded his head, like, "Of course
like,
you did.
Of course you did. Get the hell out of my face."
I'm Ethan Effing Hawk. Of course you watched me last night.
What's he doing here?
He's asking to asking Romero about the weed.
Can we get him in here?
Does he have anything on the Patriots and the
football
NFL?
Fan?
Who's he like?
He's got to be a football fan.
What's he want to talk about? We'll talk sports with him.
I'll find
you
out.
You do movies with him.
Sure, he doesn't have a bad. I'm sure he's got a decent take on something. What about the hot sports takes here?
Yeah, just don't make movies. Yeah.
He was born in Austin, Texas. He's got to be
he's gotta be a football fan. But he's got to be a football fan.
Real?
All right.
Probably likes the Cowboys.
What's up, Ethan Hawke? How you doing? God, I'm looking at him like I went by him and I didn't want to stop.
I know.
And
I
stare.
Saw him too.
I didn't want to stop and stare because I passed him. He was going one direction. I was going the other. There you go. I knew he was. All right, Phil Perry, 2 points that you have on Josh Gordon, his availability, will he play, all that good stuff. What are your points on that?
Couple points. The first was on earlier in the week. I think it was Tuesday. Spoke to someone who said, hamstring's fine. If he needs to play, he could play. It's great news. From the couple of people that I've spoken to since then who have been out at practice, haven't seen him do it. Ton, I guess, is what I've been told, that they haven't seen him do a ton. It doesn't mean he's ruled out. Doesn't mean he's not going to play. Doesn't mean he can't play. But you only get 3 practices before your first game in a new offense with a new team. I don't know. It'd be interesting to know how they're balancing those reps, because you obviously want to try to catch the guy up to speed, but at the same time, if that's sort of a losing cause, you got to get everybody else ready too. So I don't know how they've been managing that, but what I've been told is that he hasn't done a ton in team drills. It was interesting to hear Bill Belichick say at the top of his press conference, this guy's done everything he can. So there's a little bit of a conflict there.
Interesting. Where's he line up?
Outside.
He does play. Okay. Outside. So for him to all of a sudden pop in and only be here for 2 days, then you're taking reps away from Dorsett or Hogan.
That's what I mean.
And that's
right.
What I got to be careful.
And he's dealing with the hamstring. Like I said, been told it's okay. I think it's probably fine.
There's no reason you can't have all 3 of those guys on the field at the same time with Gronk.
No, definitely not. I mean, I think
that kicks Hogan inside,
right? They need to get a little bit more vertical. You don't need to be a vertical passing offense.
Oh, God.
You need a little bit of help.
They just sit on stuff, and that's when it gets problematic for Brady.
So I wrote a story today, actually, about your boy, Zoe, Golden Tate.
Oh.
Actually referenced you in the story, believe it or not.
Oh.
Blasted out the tweet that NBC Sports Boston tweeted a few days ago when you were talking about him. Mm-hmm. But in that story, basically talk about how, imagine if Josh Gordon wasn't here. This would be the Golden Tate audition for Bill Belichick.
Sure
get
would.
A chance to see him in person. We'd it all be talking
be.
About him.
Still might be.
Bill Belichick was nothing but complimentary about Golden Tate earlier in the week when I asked him about it. And I dug into some numbers in terms of deep passing. Tom Brady basically has only completed 3 passes of 20 yards or more thus far this season. They are all passes to Rob Gronkowski up the seam against the Houston Texans. for 83 total yards.
Sample's not great.
It's not a huge sample, and you're going against one of the best defenses in the league in week two. But it is what it is.
And by the way, I thought this would be an issue for them without those outside guys, and I thought the idea that... What's playing?
I'm sorry. Tom Curran.
You just said Bo Curran on the show for a second. Internet superstar.
The idea that the running backs were going to make up for that. Like the running backs would be able to make up on big third and long type plays. I don't really buy in on that. I think they're valuable in the passing game.
No.
I don't think that's what their role should be out of necessity.
You get a guy killed.
But I will at least grant that it's a small sample. It's only two games.
It is a small sample.
Yeah.
But he's ranking about 20th in the NFL, 19th in the NFL in terms of the number of deep passes he's made percentage-wise. His rating on deep passes is 15th in the league. And last year, he really had a resurgent deep passing year because, in large part, of Brandon Cooks. And Brandon Cooks opening up space for Rob Gronkowski. So that's what you get with Josh Gordon. Even if he's just running goes and posts,
you got to pay attention.
You have to pay attention.
But you've got to use him as a threat to be able to have people really buy it.
Well, you probably have to at least attempt a pass or two in his direction. But if you're the Lions and you fall asleep for one snap on the guy, if he's out on the field, it could be a touchdown. Yeah. So you have to pay attention to him, even if he's just a presence on the field, even if you haven't thrown to him, you have to pay attention. You have to shade a little bit, I think, towards Josh Gordon. That should open things up for other people.
617-779-0985. I like that. Perry's points. You're on Zolak and Bertrand. Jim told me we should get that sponsored by Stop and Shop. Even though Phil's already sponsored by Stop and Shop, we can reemphasize. You know, you get
your points. You can fill up your gas
points,
tank.
You can fill up with Phil. Perry's points.
Workshopping here.
Yeah, we're working through it.
Coppa.
All thanks to Stop and Shop.
Oh, ha, ha. Dodge, turn, Perry.
Before we get to these football calls on the line, Chris in the truck has a pickle juice call for us. Chris?
Hi. I do. Gentlemen, good afternoon.
How you doing?
What's up?
What's up?
I'm great. So this is how we did this the other night. You take a bunch of Jameson shots, and then you do a pickleback chaser with it. So that way you're not
taking
the Jameson. Now, the second pickle point shots I wanted to make real quick was...
Why don't you drink gas?
Yeah, no kidding. Dennis Eckersley is radio gold. If you just write down the
When's
one
he on
word,
the radio?
He's on TV.
You know what I mean, for the commentary is what I'm saying. But... with the cheese, the cheddar, the gas, the terminology.
Johnson.
So what do you like?
Hit a Johnson.
Football terminology or baseball terminology?
Well, it depends who it's coming from. It's come from him. It's his cheese.
No, I want you to integrate some of that, some of your own words.
Ooh. He does every once in a while.
Terminology power rankings. Baseball, I think, wins. And then I think hockey is second.
It's more like slang and then football, it is terminology.
Yeah, and then football like, and then basketball.
You're right.
Yeah.
Football's terminology is really more like X's and O's. It actually means something, whereas baseball's, I think, is just a little more colorful. You're talking hair.
Yeah.
You're talking cheese. You don't really have that in football, do you? I've heard you say F angle and things like that. Things that have actual...
Route.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
You don't have that color.
But you need the good announcers to bring it to life. And Eckersley is a good example.
I mean, what other baseball announcer
there
do you hear?
There is a
that says, he just hit a big Johnson. You're like, wow, this guy's the best. And he even got Dave O'Brien to use the word Johnson last night.
But
which was like a big thing, like, the straight man said something wild.
The classic play-by-play guys had their sayings and their phrases and the things that they would hang on to. Ernie Harwell used to, whenever somebody got called out, punched out on strike three, he said, he just stood there like a house by the side of the road. I mean, you don't get that in football. You don't get, it's very folksy.
John Wallach, count it. Hit a three, count it.
That's why basketball's last. Yeah. Because of John Wallach.
I need the personality I need some jokes thrown in there. That's what I need. Some analogies thrown in there.
You hear Associates taking pictures of rainbows?
I did hear that on the rainbow.
Hey, guys, we're going to Ben and Sterling.
I missed the rainbow.
Ben on Josh Gordon. Go ahead.
Hey, Ben.
Ben.
What's going on,
What's up,
fellas?
Man?
So, first comment I want to make about Josh Gordon is, if you spent the past 4 or 5 years being the best receiver on the Browns, wouldn't you be a drug addict, too?
Yeah.
Come on.
Kind of a lame joke.
It's been like 17 permutations of that joke over the last 4 days.
Sterling.
Tom is in Vermont. Hey,
pumpkin.
Tom.
I'll tell you, pumpkin picking out there.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hi. Listen, what's up?
Brady is so competitive, all right? Look at all of the people that have left, coaches that have left Belichick, and they haven't really done anything coaching. Brady would like to play to his 50, but he can't. Do you think he'd ever go into the coaching because he's so competitive. He can't just stop playing even when his body kicked out.
Do you think
the wife that's trying to get him to be home more is going to allow him to morph from player into a coach?
There's more hours as a coach.
Twice the amount of time as you do a player?
That's crazy.
My coach's kids.
He'll be competitive. He will find other things in this world to be competitive at, like competing in business and competing in the field of sports medicine and all that stuff that he wants to compete in. He'll still find ways to be competitive in his life. Speaking of guys that have moved on, coaches that have moved on for Belichick, we've got one of those this weekend. Matt Patricia in his first game against his old boss. Patricia v. Belichick. Let's discuss that angle to this game coming up after headlines.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox headed to the postseason, officially now winners of their division with the 11-6 victory over the Yankees in New York last night. Mookie Betts, very excited.
I'm very excited. We've got a couple more weeks to get ready, figure some things out. And, you know, once October 5th or whatever hits, we'll be ready to go.
Mookie Betts with the three-run... Give me a word. I don't want to use Johnson. What do you...
Jack!
With a three-run jack in the eighth inning last night to really put things away. They begin a new series in Cleveland tonight. Chris Sale will oppose Trevor Bauer. Patriots getting ready for the Lions in Detroit on Sunday night. Rob Gronkowski limited in practice yesterday. He's got some kind of an ankle issue. Last night, Browns beat the visiting New York Jets 21-17. And at the Tour Championship, round two in progress, Ricky Fowler and Tiger Woods share the top spot on the leaderboard, both at 5 under par. They will both tee off in about 90 minutes for round two. Headlines are brought to you by Clear Path for Veterans, New England's Journey Home 5K to support our veterans and first responders on Veterans Day. Register now at journeyhome5k.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This hour of Zolak and Bertrand is brought to you by Stop and Shop, official supermarket of the New England Patriots. They have everything you need to make your Sunday night football party a success. Get the details right now at stopandshop.com. We were just out in the hallway throwing the disc around.
Yeah.
We probably shouldn't tell people. I mean, our bosses might know when they get mad at us.
What are they going to get mad at?
I don't know. Hardy and I throwing back and forth.
Right.
Ethan Hawk walks in the hallway and says, "Hey, throw me one." And then he and Hardy shared a catch.
We did.
That's what they did. That just happened. Phil, you're a witness. Just happened. Just played out in the hallway.
It was a special moment. Really was.
I threw the disc with Ethan Hawke. I just said, I just want to say one thing to you. I said the name of one movie of his that I really, really liked. Yep. And we talked about it for a second, and we went on our way. And my day's not going to get any better. I'm going to go home. That's it.
You didn't tell him you watched Training Day a second time, did you?
No. I said, can I just say one thing to you? I said, before the devil knows you're dead. And he said, "Oh, Sidney Lumet's last night." I'm like, it was him and Philip Seymour Hoffman. Have you ever seen it, Beetle?
I don't think I have.
So good. It's so unbelievably good. And we talked about it for a second, and then he went on his way, and I didn't screw it up. You know, you didn't screw it up.
He was totally pleasant. He was totally happy to talk to you.
Yep. We threw the disc back and forth. I gave him a good throw. Yep. He threw one back.
I'll say this. His throw, not super accurate. Hardy, balls of his feet, lateral agility, made the catch. Nice job by him.
Thanks. Thanks, Phil.
Good Belichick, boy. Patricia this weekend. This would be so much more interesting if the Lions didn't look so bad in their first two games. Like, if Patricia looked good and his team looked good in the first two, this might be fun.
I know.
Instead,
it's a little unfortunate.
You just feel sort of bad for Matt Patricia that he's going to lose again. You're like, this is not a good start for you out there, buddy.
The issue, too, is the beginning part of their schedule was supposed to be the relatively easy part of the schedule. Like, the Lions schedule. Yeah. It's not getting much easier here. So there's the potential here that they start 0-5.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that would be abject failure, be an utter disaster.
Don't they have the Packers, like, next week? Is that what they have?
The Packers are somewhere
soon.
They
get right in their division, I think. Yeah.
The division's tough. So
sorry, they have the Cowboys next week, okay. Then the Packers.
Oh.
So they go on the road to Dallas, and then they're back home against
Dallas
the
defense
Packers.
Looks pretty good. Their offense is a little bit of a mess, but that defense isn't bad.
That'd be a low-scoring game. Take the under.
So it's too bad, because if they were rolling in here 2-0, Patriots 1-1, you have a chance for the student to beat up on the teacher, maybe, on the road, Sunday night, prime time. I just think he's got to show that he can at least compete, like have the team provide some sort of representative effort.
Didn't he do that last week? I mean, they went on on a short week.
That's
tough to do.
Yep. On the road.
Short week. San Fran.
Quarterback that we think is good.
Yeah. See that awful pick he had? Oh, my God.
I mean, almost beat him.
What are you seeing in him a little bit, Garoppolo? You hearing anything? Like, is it just they're getting film on him, or?
I think that's part of
just
it.
Just uncertainty?
This is something that, and we talked about this on our show, Opening Drive, Sunday mornings with Breer. These young quarterbacks, they, especially the last few years, whether it's Deshaun Watson, Carson Wentz, Jimmy Garoppolo, their first 6-7 starts, these guys are gangbusters, just killing people. Accurate, winning every game.
Yeah.
And then teams start to adjust and they start to catch up. And I know defense isn't necessarily a priority across the NFL, but those guys get paid too. They do come up with schemes. They do adjust. And the good ones are able to, you know, the good quarterbacks are able to readjust to what those defenses are doing to them. So we'll see with Jimmy. I think he's coming back to earth briefly here, but if he is what we think he is, next month or so, we should see him pick up again.
Randy is in the car. Hey, Randy.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I have a question about the Colin Kaepernick thing, even though I know it might not be really true, but everybody's pissed about the Colin Kaepernick stuff. But, you know, Marshawn Lynch is sitting on sidelines, and you don't really hear that much debate about that. And my other thing is that Josh Gordon, 11 months ago, came out with a video documentary basically talking about his mistakes and how he basically feels like, you know, he could change his life. It kind of shows because, you know, he did start the Cleveland this year and stuff. Maybe he did. Maybe it is. But what do you guys really think about, you know, actually like him changing? Do you really see that happening for the Patriots?
Probably not. I mean, because it hasn't happened yet. I don't understand what the Kaepernick go.
He was all over the place there. I didn't really follow.
Covered a lot of ground, though. Yeah.
We really didn't even touch on the Kaepernick thing because I think it was a total setup by Mark Garagos, who's not even a sports agent, and just trying to get his name going out there.
So that's
a cheeseball interview.
Garagos is the attorney for Colin Kaepernick. He sort of hinted that the Patriots or Raiders could be a team that signed Colin Kaepernick
because
sometime
Meek Mill made a song, is going to make a song about him.
How flimsy. If that's the only connection, I mean, it doesn't get much more flimsy than that.
Phil, is Colin Kaepernick good enough to deal with all the other stuff?
According to Devin McCourty, he is. So I actually talked to McCourty about this yesterday. McCourty, obviously, one of the faces of the Players Coalition, has been very outspoken about the anthem demonstrations, save for the last, I would say, year or so. As the Players Coalition has tried to advance the conversation past the anthem, they're trying to get the focus on what's being done in communities and the good work that players across the league are doing for areas that need it. But asked him about Kaepernick and, you know, would this locker room be open to the guy coming here potentially? Said, yeah, we're open to players.
I'm just talking about talent as a player.
Well, he's not a value.
He's a half-filled player.
Honestly, I mean, when's the last time we saw him? I have no idea. I would guess no. But again, McCourty says to him, pretty clear that he's, if not one of the best 32, at least one of the best 64 quarterbacks, and he should be in the league somewhere. So he says he hopes the rumor that his lawyer started yesterday is true for Kaepernick, and he sounded open to the idea.
Wouldn't that have happened by now?
I have no idea why it's coming up.
To where you don't teach him the offense, you're going to have him come in and be a backup?
The only reason it's coming up is because
I wouldn't get the value of doing it now.
You know, you want to do it in April. I understand that. Okay, bring him in. Get him with the OTAs. Get him into passing camps. You bring him in now, he's missed everything. Now you got to get up and running where you have this many reps that you get. Zero for TV.
No, so you're going to go. So, yeah. I
hey, go play, kid.
I don't see it.
Ran a West Coast offense? Yeah, let's bring a former West Coast offense quarterback in to run the Patriots offense.
And a guy who...
Makes zero sense.
A guy who needs to run when your backup quarterback probably needs to be someone who generally is pretty durable, because if the backup is in, it means your starter's hurt.
Do you think this team could handle the attention that comes with it?
Yes. I mean, this team...
I think they've been down the road. I think they've done it before.
They've had Tebow here. I mean, you could go down the list of quote-unquote distractions that this team has dealt with, and I don't think they consider
another guy that couldn't play
a real distraction.
But the time that you choose to do it is important.
No, the investment, the talent, like all those things would need to match up, and I don't think they do. But in terms of would they be able to handle it and the buzz and the noise, quote-unquote, yeah, sure, why not? This team probably more so than any other could handle it.
More with Phil Perry and your calls next.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
How's the Friday crew? Well, since the last time we met, I officially added Josh and Cyrus to the roster, so it's good to get them here. I'd say really in both cases, those two guys have done about as much as they can do in the few days they've been here, or been back in Cyrus's case. And so we'll see how it goes. But, you know, I think that Josh is a smart kid. He's worked hard. He's picked up a lot. And, you know, Cyrus has gotten back into things quickly. So we'll see how it goes.
RJ Bell coming up at 1 o'clock here on Zolak and Bertrand. RJ Bell from Vegas with the picks for the weekend. 617-779-0985. Danny and Pawtucket on Josh Gordon. Danny, go ahead.
Hi. Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Danny?
Hey, I'm on.
Hey.
Does it sound good? I'll take you off if it's bad.
It's good enough.
It sound good?
Okay, cool. Hey, so I just want to talk about Josh Gordon a little bit. I think it's a low risk, potentially high reward move. But, you know, I also want to touch on, I don't think people are giving this guy enough credit, man. If I was in Cleveland, I'd be smoking a joint and ripping a beer before practice, too. I don't know why this guy.
There it is again.
Another
same
one?
Same lame ass joke we've heard 25 times this week.
I have
if you're in Cleveland, you'd hate life, too, and have substance abuse problems, right? Am I right?
There was a glut, if that's the right word, of joke callers into Felger and Maz this week, too. Did you hear any of those?
I didn't hear those.
I don't think any of them were good.
A lot of Shecky Greens calling into Felger and Maz. You can imagine how they were received.
Low risk, high reward, I would agree with. If all of us have our front office hats on, I think we'd all agree with that. The one thing that I heard earlier this week, and it was from Rob Ninkovich, we do a podcast with every week.
We played it.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. I must have missed that.
We listen.
I'm always listening to your show. I must have missed that. I appreciate that. Just to sum up his point was,
why don't we just play it?
This could have a little bit of an impact on the locker room,
maybe. How about we just play it, and therefore you don't have to explain it?
Okay.
We can have it in his own words.
Perfect. Love it.
What's it called again? Expat.
The Expats Podcast.
Right.
Even though there's really only one.
Yeah,
expat.
There's only one expat.
There's only one.
It used to be Copen and Mayo, right?
Yes, right.
And now it's
Mayo
Perry
went to
Quick
Slants, and then it was Copen and Giardi. Now it's Ninkovich and Perry. We're going to get some other expats on there to kind of make good.
Are you?
We're going to make good. Yeah.
You're recruiting Wiggy?
Yeah. No, Zoe told me.
Oh, Wiggy can't. He's fan cred. So, you check me out. I'm on with Noah Princiotti. Felger.
The FC.
Yeah.
Sunday, okay. Baby. Uh-oh. Sunday.
It's okay. If we don't have it, it's very brief.
It's okay.
The point is very brief, which is.
Played it repeatedly the other day.
This could impact people who have bought into the things that you love as a culture, as a franchise, which are, I'm going to grind every single day. I'm going to show up every single day. I'm going to wring out every last drop of talent that I have in my body for this team. And then you bring in a guy who has been the antithesis of that, and then he's going to maybe be taking some of my work, or he's at least going to get a role, maybe, if it works out well.
Welcome to
right
football,
off the
baby.
Bat.
Well, the
Welcome
good news is,
why am I working so hard if I'm just going to watch guys come in here, do nothing, and take my job?
The good news is that at that position, there's really nobody who's going to make that claim.
I think Hogan, this could impact Hogan.
You think so?
He's in a contract year, and Ninkovich brought this up. He said he's in a contract year. You might be looking at less touches. You might be looking at a lesser statistical bottom line, which could, in the long run, impact your actual bottom line. And that's a guy who has fought for every job he's had, multiple teams, practice squads, kicking game, offense, whatever you need, team, I'm willing to do it. I'm going to be here. I'm going to work every single day. And now maybe he's not going to be the guy the way he's kind of the guy right now for the first month of the season.
Here's Ninkovich.
I mean, that was me saying I didn't agree with the move. It's not necessarily I don't agree with the talent because right. The talent's there.
Talent's there.
I don't agree with sometimes people that have talent beyond belief. They have more talent than anything you can imagine, but they don't do anything the right way, and they continue to get opportunities. Eventually, you start to look at it like, well, why the hell am I working so hard?
So there you go. I think it's like that guys like Hogan, man. It is like that everywhere, and talent trumps all. We get that.
Yep.
But, Zoe, you, as well as the rest of us, know, for how many years have we heard about how guys like Julian Edelman and Tom Brady and low-round picks and guys that don't have the most talent in the world, but they're dependable and they work hard, that's what makes the Patriots. Guys like Rob Ninkovich. Rob Ninkovich almost didn't get a scholarship to Purdue because they signed some kid who could dunk a basketball, and he was supposed to play tight end there.
Still pissed.
He's still pissed.
As Bill Belichick has said in his own words, dependability more important than ability.
Dependability is ability.
It's the most important.
No, no, that's Julian Edelman.
It's the most important.
No, it's pliability.
Is reliability as important as potential? See a play in reliability.
Yeah, we like to say dependability is more important than ability. So, put it that way.
More.
Maybe I use your phrase, but that's the one we use. But that's I think we're saying the same thing.
Dependability more important than ability.
Correct. And
they seem to have that upside down with this guy.
Well, you get to a certain point, and I tried to ask Bill about this on the conference call earlier this week that I believe you guys carried live, so you probably heard it, but it didn't go real well for me.
You had a good question, though.
Well,
I thought you had a very good question.
He's been very open about that motif before, that dependability is this hugely important thing to a football team. And he said it multiple times. It's not just that one soundbite. And he's talking about dependability in terms of your availability, but also dependability in critical moments. These are the kinds of things that Josh Gordon does not embody. Yet, they're at this point where they are so talent, so bereft of talent that they needed to bring a guy like this in.
Let's go to Troy in Dorchester on Josh Gordon. Troy, go ahead.
Hey, It's just a little frustrating when I hear things like there's nothing he can do to disturb the Patriots locker room. That is not going to happen. He'll be out in a second. And the thing about his dependability, he hasn't been in spots where he needed to be dependable. They haven't played a meaningful game in 10 years in Cleveland. So him being dependable,
that's excuse-making, Troy.
What?
Troy, that is excuse-making of the highest order.
Part of the reason they haven't been relevant in 10 years is because for 2 years they didn't have their best player because he was suspended or out of the league. Josh Gordon's the most talented guy they've had for a long time, and he's not on the field.
When you have a job, when you go to work every day, you're expected to be there and be available to at least show up.
All right, so can we at least agree that there's nothing he's going to do to disturb that locker room in New England?
No, I don't think so.
Not meaningfully.
No, he's not going to have any sort of tearing apart effect there. This is more about, is he going to be available, or is his issue going to get in the way again like it did in Cleveland so many times, and what happens? Really, that's the question. What happens if that happens here in New England? And I think a lot of us make the assumption that as soon as something happens, you get fired. That's how they treat it here. When you trade for this player, I think I'm thinking there might be some sort of leeway with this player if something happens.
The only way we'll know is if
he screws up.
When you take this on, you know it's part of the deal.
Yeah. And I think that they look at the player and they look at the salary and they look at the potential salary for next season and they say, we'll work through it.
Restricted free agent.
They would never draft him. They would have drafted him because they wouldn't waste that high a pick, but somebody else did and there's somebody else's damaged goods. Let's take a chance because there's good value there.
I mean, they like him because he's cheap. That's why they like him.
Yep.
Cheap and talented.
He's talented.
How many former first round, how many failed first round receivers have they brought in the last couple of years?
Oh, enough.
Kenny Britt, Dorsett. Josh Gordon.
They've cut 10 receivers since camp started.
It's a lot. You're including guys like Devin Lucien and Riley McCarron in that group. But
that's your insider.
That's what it is.
That's my insider. That's William Bendix.
I love William. It's my guy.
You guys got to do a TV show. He's been trying to get on TV.
We'll see. That's what I tell him.
Well, I'll be on TV with you tonight.
Oh.
Yes, sir.
6 o'clock.
Football
Don't
fix.
Miss it. Football yeah. fix on NBC Sports Boston. Phil and I will hang around and do early edition Shop as Phil. Well. That's what we're going to do.
All Thanks, right, boys.
I'll All see right. you later see today. You soon. Thanks, as always. Phil Perry from NBC Sports Boston with us in studio here on Zolak and Bertrand. RJ Bell is coming up right after these headlines in just a moment. So.